As varied as our topography and soils, as rich as our resources, so varied and rich are the voices and stories of the folks around us. Come neighbor a bit with me, Sam Stroop. Grab a cup of coffee, pull up a comfy chair, let's get to talking. So, I've talked with Jerome and Kathleen Teese about their farming operation, and then I talked with their son Mike and his wife Paula, who are up in Armstrong. That's Generation 2 that are in farming. And I was anxious to sit down and chat with Mike's son, Colin, who's just come home to farm now, too. So that's three living generations of Teeses that I will have hit. I wasn't sure I'd be able to catch Colin. I've been busy the last month with birthing near 200 goat does, and he's been planting corn with his dad. We crossed paths a couple weeks ago and agreed that Mud will come, and then we'll sit down together and chat. My rain gauge says 4 inches in the last 3 days. Colin called me last night, and so tonight we got together. He's a bright and ambitious young man. The average age of the U.S. farmer is 59 years. He's 21, and a rarity in production agriculture. Where's agriculture going? We're in tough times now, just as when I got into farming back in 1975. Our nation expects farmers to subsidize their cheap food with our sweat equity and the monetary rewards to go to a few who are patient and smart. I see Collins being among those. Let's get to talking. So I'm talking with Colin Teese, and we've been kind of not chasing each other, but have been for a while because I knew how busy he was and I was. And we finally got enough mud to where we could take some time to sit across from each other and see what kind of thinking goes on inside of a fella's head who's jumping into production agriculture. And I was kind of trying to scratch my head, and you may know better than me. I don't know. You're 21?
Yes, I am.
I don't know if I know of any other 21-year-olds that just jumped into production agriculture. Can you think of any?
No.
There's some more approaching 30.
Yeah, no, but not really. Not right off my hands.
I think you're the young guy on the block.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to picking your brain a little bit. You were telling me you finished the corn planting.
Yes, we did.
Do you think it was approaching 500 acres or not that much? That you planted into corn?
I'd say we were right around 1,000 acres.
1,000 acres of corn.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And then you got beans to go yet.
Yep, about that much beans.
Okay, yeah. So. Now, my memory was your dad said 1,000 total, so I was about half and half then. On the best day, how many acres do you think the planter went over? Any guess?
It is hard telling.
Yeah.
You just jump on it,
and when the day is done, the day is done, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
the weather really was halfway decent for the planting, don't you think?
It was good.
Borderline wet.
Yeah, yeah. It just started to rain about the day we finished up,
yeah.
So it worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm. So. Was most of it no-till?
A lot of no-till, yeah. Mostly probably no-till. So.
And you can probably work with a little bit wetter ground that way.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the area that we're in. Several different factors in that. But,
what happens when you do hit a spot, a wet spot? Do you just lift up or do you mud through it or what do you do?
Well, it depends how muddy it is.
Okay.
You know, usually might pick up a little bit and try to get out of it. But
yeah. How was nitrogen application taken care of?
Oh, it was all knifed in, anhydrous.
The fall or just now?
Just now, right before we planted. So.
And explain to our city slickers why a corn plant needs to have nitrogen for fertilizer. Can you do that? It's just part of the deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah.
So.
And then for your phosphorus and potash, was that put on as dry or did you not
on? It was run dry. What we did run was run dry. So
it was that this spring, some of that too?
Yes. Yep.
What else? Any sulfur?
Not to my knowledge, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not the one that makes them calls there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the variety of things that you did in the corn planting process?
I'm more of I deliver seed and work ground. That's pretty much what I what I do there. Yeah. So
you weren't running anhydrous on?
I ran a little bit and hauled tanks back and forth, but you know, mostly around the warehouse and bringing seed back and forth.
Yeah. To me, it was always scary putting an anhydrous on because I always thought, I'm getting too much. I'm getting not getting enough. Yep. Lift it up at the end of the field and I get a good dose of what it smells like. It's a real art.
Yes.
And best left learned over a period of time. What will the procedure be for bean planting? Will that be a lot of no-till too?
Yes, probably almost all no-till.
Okay.
Beans. So.
And how long before you might start? Probably it's May
just,
1st.
Just about as quick as the ground dries out, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So. And this will all be Roundup ready?
Yes.
All right. Yep. Going back to the corn with the nitrogen, will you put more nitrogen on later? Will you be splitting the application? Do you know?
No, probably not. Okay. Usually just right there that first shot.
Any guess as to how much nitrogen is going on the corn per acre?
About 180.
Okay.
180.
So. I was going to say it might approach 200. Yeah.
I mean, anywhere from 165 to 180 is what we've been running. So.
What are your cattle chores now?
Well, cattle chores. We just finished up feeding hay and, you know, feed mineral and check cows, fence. Yeah.
But the grass is staying ahead of them now.
So far, there's a few pastures we probably need to back a couple of them off on. And we've been we've recently turned cattle out into rye.
Okay.
And then my own cattle, we're done feeding hay there too. We're kind of just hand feeding.
What do you hold for cattle? I've seen some nice calves over there at John Bloom's old place.
Yeah, those calves down there, I'm actually in partners with my grandfather, Ralph Hankey from Salisbury. Mm-hmm. And together we've got 28 cow-calf pairs that we run. So.
And are some up north or where are the cattle at?
The cows are up north between here and Salisbury, up off of Highway T. And then down there would have been weaned calves that we've recently gotten rid of.
So. Right. Were you involved in winter feeding of the cows too?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So it was a long winter.
Yes, it was very long. Too long.
They come that way sometimes.
Yep.
Tell me if you can, this is kind of an off the wall question. Where do you think you're at in life right now? What's going on?
Ooh. Man,
that's a tough one, isn't it?
Hard to say. There's not a lot going on, but there is a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of depends on what part of life you look at, I suppose. So, seems like here lately I've been doing more working than anything else. You know, getting in the field and taking care of cattle. So, I've recently finished up an associate's degree in agronomy in Sedalia. Okay. And now I'm just back here at the farm working.
Yeah. You jumped into this about 3 or 4 years ahead of when I jumped into farming.
Yeah.
And it's probably because I went to 4 years of school and then I had 4 years in the military.
Yeah.
And I started school young, but I hit Howard County farming at age 25. Yeah, I don't think I realized how long my days at farming were going to be when I entered it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of time for anything else.
No, especially on, you know, this time of year.
I didn't know anybody around here because we moved down from Wisconsin. I went off to college, went off to the Navy. And so here I was 25, didn't know any chicks at all in the whole county. And I did have a goal to get married before I was 30.
Yeah.
And I didn't make it. I proposed before I was 30, but she put off the wedding till after my birthday.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, we'll get into that area of your life for too long here. Was there a discussion with your dad about coming back and working with him, or was it just kind of a given?
It was just kind of a given. That'd been kind of my plan my whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all I've ever really done. I wouldn't want to do anything different.
Yeah. So it was just an understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the 2 years of Sedalia are over, you got me all day, Dad.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Did you ever attend any job fairs or anything and ever consider any of the other areas in agricultural employment?
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of looked around a little bit, and I'm actually slowly working my way into the seed business with my dad. But other than that, that's all I've really thought about doing is just kind of what I already know.
Are you working for your dad? Now that I'm being nosy, and if you want to say, "Dad, get out of here," that's none of your damn business. At this point, is it a salary situation, or are you getting a cut of some of the crops, or how's it going to work?
It's salary.
Okay.
Salary.
Yeah, I figured that would be the easiest way to go right now. Dad and I had a certain number of cows, and so I got a certain percentage of the milk check.
Yeah.
And that's the way we ended up working it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a deal that's kind of like that. There, you know, I've got, say, 12 cows I own on my own that are mixed in with Dad's, but I pay pasture rent, and I pay my way. But yeah, when everything sells, we take the average, and that would be that.
Before I get into what went on down at Sedalia, what was high school all about for you? What were some of your favorite classes?
I was a big ag student.
Okay.
That was definitely my favorite.
And it was at Fayette?
It was at Fayette, yes.
Okay. How high on the pillars of FFA involvement did you go? Did you tell me about some of the things you did there?
Well, there I was in livestock judging. Okay. Then I was a sentinel for the FFA chapter. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so. Every fall went to the American Royal. Or don't they do that anymore?
No, they don't do that.
Okay.
Or at least not that I know of.
When you were in high school, what was your involvement on the farm then? About the same as now?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as now. A little different pay. I still had about the same number of cattle on my own.
Yeah.
At that time, I wasn't partnered yet. Or I guess I was probably in the later half of my senior year, I'd started to partner with my grandfather.
What were some of the first jobs you had on the farm?
Raking hay.
Raking hay.
Yep. It seems to be a first for most. Mm-hmm. Raking hay and, you know, working in a hay field over the summer.
Yeah.
So,
moving big bales around some.
Yep.
Yeah. Does your dad do most of the cattle checking, or were you involved in that too during calving time and that?
I was involved in a lot of that, but, you know, at the same time, I was still going to school.
Right.
And we calve in the spring, so I wasn't able to get around as much as I would like.
Yeah. And summertime, it was hauling seed and going for parts and all this and that.
Yep. Yep.
Was there jobs on the farm that just, God, I wish I didn't have to do that one?
Yeah. I never really was a fan of scooping bunk lines.
Okay. What do you mean by scooping bunk lines? Cleaning them out?
Yeah, cleaning out the frozen silage or snow or rocks.
Yeah. You all put up silage, and that's one of the major feeds all winter long is putting some silage out.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The bunks can get pretty crappy after a while.
Yeah. That happens pretty quick. It seems too quick.
What was your decision on going to college? Was that just a given, I'm going to do it, or?
No. Up until about my senior year of high school, there was no way I was going to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally decided it would be good to have a backup plan if farming didn't work out.
Okay.
Have something to kind of lean on.
And how come you decided on Sedalia State Fair?
It was the closest college I could drive to that had an agriculture program.
Mm-hmm.
So,
were you able to kind of cover costs as you went? Or have you got some debt?
No. I had enough scholarships to pay for everything. So.
Excellent. Did you have a favorite professor down there?
No, I mean, they were all good.
Huh?
Yeah, they were all good. So,
did it just kind of seem like advanced FFA classes, or did it seem really different to you?
It seemed a lot like advanced FFA classes.
Okay.
No, they did a lot like FFA. They had a program down there where you go across the state and the country and compete in different contests, kind of just like FFA.
And did you have any animal science classes?
No, I didn't.
It was all agronomy.
It was all agronomy.
Mm-hmm. Was there any one of those classes that just thought you, when you took it, you thought, wow, I really learned a lot out of this one? Or were they all about the same?
They were all, you know, about the same. They were good classes, and, you know, I learned quite a bit in each of them a little
And
ways,
you so. Stayed awake.
I did. I did stay awake there. A lot more interesting than high school.
I had a job feeding turkeys at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was in college.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time I hit that 8 o'clock class, I was ready for a nap.
Yeah, I bet so.
I remember going into a class once and sitting down next to a guy, and he said, "It seems like I know you." I said, "Well, I don't think I know you. Maybe we had a class together." He said, "Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know who you are. You're the guy that slept next to me all through ag economics." So I guess I shouldn't have the turkey feeding job at 3 in the morning, but I had to pay the bills.
Yeah, you gotta make do.
Yeah. What about, you probably had to have math and English and history and chemistry and all that stuff too, didn't you?
Yeah, in college I had math and history and English.
Okay. So. Those weren't sleepers for you, or were they pretty painful, or what was that like?
Well, they weren't the most interesting class I was in down there, but I still managed to pull through without falling asleep, I believe. So.
Was the English class at all a lot of writing exercises in there, or was it?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of that. Yeah. So.
I studied ag journalism.
Okay.
And so I had a lot of writing classes.
Yeah.
And for me, the discovery was that if I can't write something out, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And if I can conquer it on paper, then I probably know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit of that.
Right. Did you have any classes in enterprise planning or figuring out the budgeting on a farm, anything like that?
I had a personal finance class.
Okay.
So that was about the extent of that. So.
Yeah. I expect it was helpful, though.
Yes, it was very helpful.
Right.
Made you look at things a little differently than you normally would.
Yeah. I ranked classes like that right at the top. When I was in college as being useful.
Yeah.
Did you have a job down there in Sedalia at all, or were you working at home?
I was working at home when I was driving down there.
Yeah. Many times where you were just 3 days a week in college?
About half the time I was 3 days a week, and the other half I was 5 days a week.
I don't know if this is a good question. It may be difficult for you. Why did you choose production agriculture over going after a job in agribusiness?
Well, in production agriculture, it's the only job where you can feel like you're your own boss.
Okay.
It seems to me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like to be able to make decisions and I guess see the consequences of my decisions that I make and or how it's good or bad for my operation.
Well put. You were saying that when you didn't really have to talk to your dad, it was just kind of given in your mind and his that the position was still here for you to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I had my talk with my dad, I said, I'd really like to come back and farm. But you've got to get a big round baler. We had one of the first ones in the county.
Yeah.
So I guess he took my little talk to heart.
Yeah, I guess so.
That first summer I ran all over the county putting up big bales for folks because everybody wanted them. That was a while back.
Yeah.
And the balers were really junk. But it sure beat the square balers because they were all really junk.
Oh, yeah.
I taught agriculture over Glasgow FFA 1 year.
Okay.
And an exercise I had the guys do. Have you got a pen handy? I don't know if this will work anymore. I did with the kids when I was an FFA teacher. But when you're on the road driving, or maybe you're raking hay or driving, and your brain can kind of float a little bit, can you at all make a pie graph and say, in my thinking life, this is the slice that is given to this kind of thinking. And this is a slice that's given to this kind of thinking. And is that at all something you could come up with? I'll do the same thing. I'll come up with my little pie graph. And we'll see how 50 years of age difference affects that. But just give it a minute of thought and see what you think.
Yeah.
You can come up with something.
Man, it's hard.
What do you think gets the most of your thinking?
Probably work, because that's where I'm at most.
Right.
So.
And so would it be like 2/3 of it?
I'd say that's probably right, yeah.
Okay, 2/3 of the pie graph is that. All right, so now you all got to work with 1/3 of it. Yeah. What other things do you think about when you're floating around?
Well, I like to hunt and fish, so that'd probably be a little bit of it.
Okay. So. A quarter of it?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably right. So
quarter of that. And then what's another quarter? Do you think about what's going on in the country at all? Do you listen to news?
Yeah, I do think about that some.
Okay.
Not as much as some people may do. But
it definitely is there.
Yep.
You got a girlfriend.
Yes, I do.
Is that some of the thinking?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's probably.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's
probably
quarters.
Quite a bit of it, too.
Right. Okay. What else might be in there? The future?
Yes, I think about that actually quite a bit.
Yep.
So.
I think maybe my pie graph would be the same as yours. 2/3 is just the tasks at hand.
Mm-hmm.
that I, you know, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to go at it when I'm involved in the task?
Yep.
It's how to go at it better.
Yep.
And then all those other concerns. The interesting thing when I did it with the kids in FFA was about half or two thirds, they were thinking about that fancy pickup truck they wanted or had and
how to
fix it up better. And I didn't tell my girlfriends that that's what consumed most of their thinking.
Well, that probably wouldn't be good.
That was our little secret. Yeah. How long are your days? What time do you roll out and hit it?
Well, we all show up at the shop at 7 o'clock every morning.
Okay.
And depending on the day, if we're busy, we'll work until, we're tired. But most days, I'd say 7 to 5 or 7 to 7.
Yeah.
Just kind of depends. You know, some days we'll go from 7 to midnight.
Right.
Or 2 o'clock in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of
get the job done.
Yep, just kind of depends on what's going on at the time.
Right. What do you end up doing when you do kickback, when the mud moves in and you've got the weekend to yourself?
Well, we've been doing a lot of cleaning and fixing our equipment here lately.
Okay.
So that rain's got us, give us a little bit of time to do that.
Right. Is the seed business already hopping?
Yes, we're very busy with that. Mm-hmm. So.
And that probably was some preparation for that even.
Every month of the year, we're doing something with the seed business. Mm-hmm. Whether it's going to meetings, getting seed in, or just cleaning up and taking inventory, we're always doing something with it. So,
have you got the capability here of putting on different seed treatments?
Yes, we do.
What are some of those different things that you can do?
We can put fungicide, insecticide, inoculant, and levo.
Okay.
So that's our range of what we put on right there.
Did any of that go on your corn seed?
Not that we put on. We don't treat any corn seed ourselves.
Okay.
Our corn comes treated from the factory.
Okay. And that's for insects and fungicide on the corn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's just a given with corn.
Yes.
And then there's more choices with the beans.
There's more choices. Just kind of depends on what ground you're putting it on and the characteristics of the environment around it.
So. Yeah. Do you ever have total charge of what's going on with that seed treating operation?
When Dad's not around, I've seemed to taking kind of control of the seed treater in the warehouse there.
Yeah. So you know that piece of equipment good enough to...
I ended up treating a lot of beans. Mm-hmm. So.
And you haven't screwed up too bad.
Not too bad yet. Not yet. Knock on wood.
It can happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. You maybe have stories like this too, but when I came back to the farm here in Missouri, and I was away for 8 years. Before that, I farmed as a kid with Dad in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It was a different world.
Yeah.
So I come back here. I wasn't used to clay ground, so I was always getting stuck.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get stuck in Wisconsin. Uh-huh. It didn't happen. It was a sandy loam, and the water that came went right down into the ground. So I was getting stuck. Holes around the edge of the field that I didn't know about, Dad did.
Yeah.
So I dropped the front end of a tractor in a hole, break a spindle.
Yeah. It happens to all of us.
We were running all around helping other people hay. So I remember going down the county road to where my brother-in-law's, Bill Verner's, he wasn't there living there yet, but I was going down there. There was an old bridge with metal sides, and I wasn't thinking about what I was doing. And I hit one of those sides with a rake, old side delivery rake, tore it all to crap. I don't know why Dad didn't just put a gun to my head and put me out of my misery. Well, you know, he contained it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he could think back when he was a kid and screwed up things on the steam engine. I don't know. But painful memories of starting out as I was a 24 or 25-year-old.
Yeah.
It was coming back to a new world.
We've all done it.
Okay.
We've all done it.
So you got some stories you could share.
We've tore our fair share of stuff up.
Yeah. Is it hay equipment that gets tore up the most? I bet it is.
Yes, it is. It seems like our hay equipment is always, we're always having trouble with. You know, like we got our baler and we bale with a tractor duals on it. And you get in a hurry, not paying attention, you back up and you'll hit the side of that baler every time if you catch yourself sleeping.
Now, what's your role when there's silo filling? Do you drive any of the silage trucks?
Pretty well everything.
Okay.
I mean, I'll haul the silage and I'll pack and I'll spread inoculant. Just whatever there is to do, I'll do.
where the cattle are, do you have a cement bunker with a cement floor?
Yes, we do.
Okay, it's not just hay bales.
Well, it is hay bales. We actually have, for our silo, we have concrete blocks with hay bales stacked up, and we put our silage in there, just a gravel bottom. That's where the majority of my scooping comes from, is that gravel.
Yeah. I think maybe my closest near-death situation was packing silage in a bunker silo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it can get a little challenging.
It can get kind of scary.
Right. But I live through it. We do it somehow or other. When your downtime, when you're not fixing equipment and chasing down this and that, what do you enjoy doing for relaxing?
I like to hunt and fish.
Okay.
It seems like I spend a lot of time in the woods and kind of enjoy doing that. If I'm not doing that, I'm either with my girlfriend or I'm here cleaning up my house from when I'm busy.
Where do you fish the river at all?
We fish on the Missouri River some and the Sheraton and just a lot of ponds around here.
And with friends who have boats, or do you have your own setup?
Got our own boat.
Yeah, probably haven't done any of that this spring yet, fishing on the Missouri River.
No,
it's just
not
too
yet.
Flood stage-ish.
Yeah, we've just been too busy.
So. Yeah, too busy. Well, that's come July, August.
Yeah.
How do you get your information now that you're not down there at Sedalia studying and rubbing our shoulders with professors? Do you check out information on the internet or magazines or what?
Once in a while, I look it up on the internet, but I kept a lot of my textbooks from Sedalia.
Okay.
I figured if I ever had a question, I could go back and look. And then we actually have some Pioneer gives us books also with information in them.
Do you or your dad get any regular farm magazines that you go through where you're eating your cereal in the morning?
Yeah, dad gets quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. So I myself don't get anything here yet, but I spend the majority of my time down there.
So. Yeah. So you're perusing his stuff.
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of amazed at some of the good ag articles that the Glasgow Missourian runs. And I always kind of think, well, I bet that's Colin's grandma responsible for finding that stuff and sticking it in.
Yeah, she was doing a lot of that, there, I believe. So.
She is retired now.
Yep, she retired now. So.
Yeah, no, there's just some articles on farming in there. I think, wow, in the Glasgow, Missouri, that's good information. Did you make any friendships in college that you'll continue following through on, or were you too in and out down there?
I was in and out a lot, so I probably didn't make as many friends as I would have if I would have stayed there, but I got to know people pretty well from all over the state, and it's kind of cool to see just the differences in the areas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did. I made several friends there.
Is it pretty much here involvement with family, or you've got some things going on community-wise? Like, are you in the Howard County Cattlemen's Association or anything like that?
I'm not.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
I don't really get into a whole lot of it community-wise yet. But yeah. I just got out of FFA and 4-H. And
right.
I still spend a lot of time at the fair cleaning up and kind of helping out with that. So that's about the extent.
But you know, that time will come when you start a family and get kids, and they kind of drag you into the community.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So it'll be a different season of your life then. Where do you see agriculture going? Do you see a future there for you? Does it concern you?
I hope there's a future. I think there's a future there. I hope it's more promising in the future than it is now, but it's hard to look at the future and see that.
Farming has always been cycles.
It's the biggest gamble you'll ever play.
Yep, and it's always been tough in farming because as a country, we expect our farmers to subsidize and create cheap food for the rest of America.
Yep.
And so for us to be profitable in that kind of an environment, we can't lay back.
You're right. Yep.
We've got to really be on top of the game.
Yep, and it's hard to stay on top.
Yep. But when I look at your grandpa, Jerome, and your dad, and now you, you've got footsteps to follow that are used to making things work.
Yep.
So I think you can be optimistic.
I hope I can.
Yeah. And they're folks that have always been very flexible in making sure that, you know, the end game shows some profit.
Yep.
So hang in there, buddy. Wow. What's your girlfriend do? Is she in school yet, or?
She's in college at Mizzou. Mm-hmm. She's studying. She wants to go to PA school, be a positions assistant.
Okay.
And right now she's working at the in the ER. So.
Wow.
At the university. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Does that make her a junior, maybe?
Yep, she's a okay. junior. She has one more year left, and then she's got to go to two more years of mm-hmm. PA school.
And living out in an apartment in Columbia, or is yep. she driving back and forth?
She has an apartment over on yeah. over in Columbia.
Yeah. Well, I'm probably keeping you from a visit to Columbia this evening. Can you get together once a week? Mm-hmm. Depends on the time of year.
Yeah, sometimes every week and sometimes every, you know, once a month.
Right.
It just kind of depends on how right. busy we are, like you said. So.
And I expect her schedule's pretty busy, too.
Her schedule is just as busy as mine, yeah. so, yeah. yeah, if not busier.
When do some classes finish up for her? Is another 2 weeks or not even that?
16th of May, I believe she'll okay. be done.
So. Yeah, she's starting to count the days. And...
Yeah, and I don't blame her.
Well, I'm not a covetous person in most ways. I tend to think everybody has a right to what they have, and I shouldn't covet it, but I look at your life, and I covet your younger body, and I covet your nimble mind, and they will both serve you well. They
I really hope. Will.
And I wish you the best of luck, and it's going to be fun watching your life unfold. I've got another 20, 25 years to watch that happen. And above all, be careful. When you're driving across that narrow bridge with a brake behind you.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with me and talking with the folks out down there in Fayette and whoever checks in on the internet. Well, have a good evening. Thank you again.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this session of Let's Get to Talkin', encourage friends out of the range of our low power station to catch us online. Just Google Sam Stroop SoundCloud and the newest and oldest sessions will pop up. If you, like me, have a long day of being focused on my work and life, it's a great day's end to get my mind bent a bit around the life beat of the folks around me. This is Sam Stroop. Catch you next week. Let's get to talking.